Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation and it's November. The Dork Forest. You know the websites. JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. I also bought FamilyPetAncestry.com because it made me laugh. Anyway, what am I, Rockefeller? But those are the websites. The credits, of course. Mike Rickberg just sang that song, the Dork Forest theme song. He composed it. He sang it with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen, in their own home. And he will sing again at the end, the Mexican Hat Dance, words that he made up for it. Patrick Brady will fix this audio. God bless him. And Vilmos does the website. In November and December, I ask people if they will, instead of donating to the Dork Forest, they'll find their local food bank. It's Thanksgiving, you guys. It's a boatload of holidays. So it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's solstice, it's Kwanzaa, it's the New Year, it's winter. Let's all pony up and give to our local food bank. So all you got to do is Google your town's name and the word food bank, and I bet you it'll come up. You can bring them food. If you give them money, they will buy what they truly need. So my sister says, and she's a financial advisor, that it's better to give them money because then they just buy the stuff they need. But if you have extra food, bring that too over, I guess, as well. You can, using the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com, every time you order from Amazon, if you go through JackieCation.com portal, the Amazon banner, and just make a regular order, I get a little kickback. I don't know why they do it. Probably because they're a giant corporation. You could also buy merch. Tis the season to get your loved one a Dork Forest t-shirt if you want. Also my CDs, my new CD and DVD, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, available at JackieCation.com in the store. And it is November, so I am doing stand-up comedy all over Los Angeles, including Thanksgiving weekend. I'm doing a headlining set at the Flappers in Burbank. Flappers! Aaron Foley's going to feature. Bamford was going to do it, but there's some sort of problem. Dan Telfer's going to host. It's a good one. Dan Telfer, Aaron Foley, myself. Flappers, Burbank, Thanksgiving weekend. What's the ad? What's it going to be? Who knows? Anyway, it's going to be a great episode. Thanks for tuning in. Bye. Shattering conventions, shattering conventions, shattering, shattering. Hey, I sang. It's Jackie Cation. Shattering conventions, commerce, cosplay, and conflict on the expo floor by Bob Calhoun is this month's sponsor. It's a hilarious and disturbing book. Friend of the show, conventions dork, Bob Calhoun, has been on the show previous episode. He goes to all kinds of different conventions, trade shows, and expos and writes about it in Shattering Conventions. But he doesn't just go to Comic-Con and Star Trek conventions. He goes to a gun show, a livestock show, a Republican convention, a conspiracy convention. I remember being slightly worried when he went to that one. And even a Bigfoot Hunter Con. There's all kinds of crazy and wrong in this book, and it's not always where you expect to find it. Not only have I read this book, I endorsed it with a blurb on the back cover, and I recommend it to all Rangers of the Dork Forest and spooky reading girls within the sound of my voice. The book is Shattering Conventions, Commerce, Cosplay, and Conflict on the Expo Floor by Bob Calhoun. It's available in ebook and paperback from Amazon.com and other fine booksellers. For more on the book, go to shatteringconventions.com. It's a really good book. You should get it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm sitting here, a return guest, Mr. Jesse Case. Welcome to the program again.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
Sure. We talked Lego. I learned about the term element previous
element. Yeah. We discussed that. It was one of your earlier episodes. We did it via phone, but I was here.
Right. There were three iterations of the show.
Okay.
Over the phone, people called in first 2 years, two, 3 years. Me and Joe Wilson doing it.
Okay.
Second iteration, Joe Wilson goes off to make his own videos.
Do stuff.
Vampire Mob. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. It's about a mob guy who becomes a vampire and bites his wife because he loves her, and she bites her mother. So all of a sudden, it's a fucking sitcom. And he's like, I didn't want to live in a fucking sitcom. Anyway, so very funny. sure. web series.
I'll check it out.
Vampire Mob. Now, and then, so then I was doing it by myself, and I was like, well, I'm not good unless we can see each other. So I had people over, still over the phone, still like a big conference call, everyone on an extension sitting right. around, sitting around the,
right.
the house. And now this is the third iteration where it's pre-recorded with the...
This is the one where I'm over, but there is a curtain between us. It's very weird.
right.
You There's went back just... to not seeing people.
right. I don't like to see people
no,
again.
No. Turns out, not good. Not good.
Right. And usually there's cashews and then there's chocolate, a little dark chocolate. Mixed it up. Halloween season. I made some pumpkin seeds this morning.
You did. You
and
did.
And I didn't know if you were allergic to pumpkin. Nobody's allergic to pumpkin seeds, are
they? Are people allergic to pumpkin seeds?
I'm sure if someone offered somebody too much pumpkin seeds, they'd be like, wait, people do. Then pumpkin
you know
spice.
You know what's weird? Everything is pumpkin themed Halloween time. Pumpkin
right?
spice, pumpkin puree, pumpkin candles, pumpkin everything.
Right. Tampons. Do you see that?
What?
Yeah.
Pumpkin tampons?
Yeah, there's pumpkin spice tampons.
Okay.
It isn't okay.
That's,
whoever's
no,
doing
no,
that.
That's not okay. But I don't understand why the official Halloween music isn't Indian music. Because sitars, that's a pumpkin. It's made out of a pumpkin gourd.
Indian.
India,
right.
I prefer to use the English language. So yeah, Indian.
right. would you have said Native American?
No. I think that's racist. So I went with Dot, not
right.
Because I don't want to be racist.
So
I want.
By losing your shit. That's hilarious. Okay. Yeah, because it's made out of a pumpkin, and you're like, let's do this.
I mean, if we're gonna go pumpkin, go full pumpkin.
You want us to go full pumpkin?
No, what I'm saying is people, I think Halloween these days has turned mainly into pumpkin because...
Pumpkin time?
Because you have pumpkin patches, those lots that you go buy your pumpkin at.
Right.
Every pumpkin patch space, even let's say in front of the grocery store, you got all your pumpkins set up in
yep.
front of the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
All that turns into Christmas tree space.
Right.
It goes from one to the other immediately.
Immediately. Almost like October 31st, 11 p.m.
Yeah. And I think... Maybe even get other holidays going. There should always be a thing to sell in that space because they do fireworks in that space.
Okay.
But then it's just empty space for a while.
Oh, right. So this is more a space management kind of thing where you're like, we go from pumpkins to Christmas. Maybe there's no Valentine's. No. Nobody says to themselves, I want this to be a Valentine's.
There's
space.
No lot for Valentine's space.
No.
Valentine's gifts, you go to Walgreens, you're done.
That's it. It's one row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see our
I'm sick of one row holidays, Jackie.
you'd like an entire lot. See our Oriental trading box?
No, what is that?
That is all the toys that we give out to the kids on Halloween.
Toys?
Yeah, we don't give we don't give candy.
You guys are the coolest.
Well,
you're
Halloween.
The coolest.
Halloween is Andy Ashcraft's religious holiday, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And he bought us outfits. Costumes.
Oh yeah?
And I said, "What will they be?" And he said, "The most terrifying thing that you could see on Halloween. We will dress as elves."
Yeah.
I put it on. It doesn't work. It doesn't work on me.
What type of elf? What iteration?
It's a green and red velour. And then they have little booties to go over your shoes.
So 50s cartoon elves, not like Legolas elves.
Right? No, not Tolkien. We're not talking elf. Yeah, we're talking Santa elves.
Okay.
To bring Christmas too soon into the equation. That's what Andy found terrifying. That's why he thought it was scary.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of like a Nightmare Before Christmas deal. Combine it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, throw it together.
That's it.
Yeah.
And okay.
Okay.
I think we've talked enough about Halloween, unless
sure.
you have something you'd like to submit.
Oh, this comes out after it's over, right?
No, wait. It doesn't know. Yeah, November 2nd.
This is coming out after Halloween's over?
Right.
Oh, we shouldn't have done that.
Everyone's
over it.
Undo those last 5 minutes, people.
Sorry,
Rangers,
guys.
It's all right. It'll all work out.
All right.
Because what led to it was me asking you if you had seen the Lego movie. Have you seen the Lego movie?
No.
Why not?
I know.
Not by choice or just by accident?
By accident.
Oh, okay.
There are
many things I haven't seen.
I went down to the cheaper theater, the $1.50 theater, and saw the
right.
Megablox movie. And boy, that sucked. But
that doesn't exist. No. That made me laugh against my will. Well played, Jesse Case. At Jesse Case on Twitter, by the way. And jessecase.com is your website. And also, you have a Tumblr called Bullshit Reference.
It's all one word, bullshitreference.tumblr.com. I don't know how the things work.
If you...
I own jessiecase.com. I'm such a Luddite these days. I'm really bad at stuff. I quit Facebook.
Good for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So now I never get booked on things. Didn't think about that angle.
that is an angle. I should send you that list of bookers. I'll send you that list of
Yeah.
Because they have email addresses, it turns out.
They do.
You don't have to do it through Facebook.
Because to get Facebook, you have to have an email address.
Right.
But yeah, I just...
Actually, some of the links are Facebook links, I think, for the bookers. But you'll find them.
I'll find them on Twitter. So yeah, I happen to not see the Lego movie... Only because of coincidental, weird relationshipy stuff. You know, sometimes like a relationship thing doesn't work out, and then it's like you just can't listen to Bob Dylan for 5 months.
Oh, okay.
You know, just because it bums you out. It's not like a big deal. It's not a big epic thing. But I was just like, let's hold off on the Lego movie.
Somebody ruined Lego for you for a second?
We got real weird with Legos. It was kind of our thing. Yeah, okay. We got real into it. I'm kidding.
God, I wanted that to be true. We took a step back from how weird things got. the whole episode last time was about Lego, and I learned many things.
I didn't even have that planned, though. I didn't. We kept it so loose, but
you came in and you knew things.
I know a lot of things about things.
There's a little more pre-production going on in the Dork Forest these days. I send people an email. I say, what are you dorking out about? And then I have a little tiny list.
I ruminated in front of the email for so long because I dork out about things, and I dork out about almost everything. And I'm sure your listeners notice this, and I'm sure you've noticed this, is that being a true blue dork,
right?
You know, makes it very difficult, I think, to actually be in around the sort of hipster culture, which happens to be a lot of the shows we do, because a lot of those things have been sort of taken, but it's not necessarily real fandom of things. So what I mean...
The co-opting of the dorkdoms?
Because dorkdom will never be cool. So what I mean is I'll see a guy in a synthesizer t-shirt.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, dude, are you a Bob Moog fan? Or you're a fan of subtractive synthesis? You like a 24-bit filter? You like a notch filter? What do you go for? And he's like, oh, it's a cool shirt. And now I'm a dork
those
again.
Those are all words that I... Let's talk briefly about a synthesizer t-shirt.
Okay.
Is a synthesizer... You're talking about the audio component?
Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
An instrument.
It's an oh,
the synthesizer, a synth.
A synth.
You can have it on
piano?
You can have it on a keytar. You can have it on a, you know, it's the big thing with all the knobs.
A Casio? Make them?
Casio makes them?
Okay. I just put it in terms of
No.
Once we go music, there's a rabbit hole that
that's
I am
okay.
On the, yeah.
That's okay. Casio makes them? Sure.
Good. Okay, so a synthesizer, the guy had a t-shirt with a synthesizer on it.
Very popular shirt.
Yep.
I know you know this. You're nuts about like comic books, which I'm not. I don't know a ton about.
Right.
But you'll see someone with a shirt on that's like from the cover of The Killing Joke.
Okay.
Which and you're like, oh, dude, did you get the one with the deluxe Joker figure? Did you get the regular? And they're just like, it's a cool shirt.
Right.
And then you're like, well, now I feel like a jackass around my own people. So that sucks.
Right.
I'm getting tricked.
Here's how I say it. I can heal this. I can heal
Help
this.
Help me.
Yes. Because here's the thing. The Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh.
Are a football team in Wisconsin.
I've heard of them.
A lot of people like them. A lot of people are into it. I don't enjoy organized sports.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you're drawing the Zodiac serial killer symbols while we're talking.
You're doodling. I am from Wisconsin. We have Orson Welles. Anyway, so but what it is it's one time when the Green Bay Packers, I was doing a weird gig in Green Bay one time, and it was right before they made the Super Bowl in the 2000s. Brett Favre was, I think, the pitcher and quarterback.
Sure, the
right?
pitcher works.
Pitcher, what? Yeah. He was pitching the damn ball.
No, because the catchers run up the field and they hope to. Yeah,
they catch the ball.
Yeah,
so they're receivers. I know these words. These are real words, but But I walk in, and a friend of mine, I have many friends who are big Packer fans, and so I went in to film the gas tank, and I go in, and I thought it would be funny to get my friend Larry an old man coin purse. Remember the old man coin purse? Plastic.
Yeah.
You squeeze them, and it opens.
Yep.
And so I get one of those that was a Green Bay Packer.
Looks like a bladder, like a little.
Yeah, like a little that. And so I take it to the thing, and I put it on, and I was like, I don't mean to hurt myself jumping on the bandwagon here with this Green Bay Packer trinket.
Sure.
Man, late 50s. I almost burst into tears because he had the biggest grin on his face, and he goes, "Plenty of room on the bandwagon."
Oh, but he took a beat beforehand?
No, he meant it.
Yeah.
He meant it, and he was just like, "No, knock yourself out, $1.29." And so I bought that drink, and that's what I'm saying about the synthesizer. I say...
Sure.
Talk to that guy and just go, "Oh, do you like synthesizers?" He's like, "Oh, I just think it's a cool shirt." And you're like, "Well, that is actually a really cool shirt because..." And then fucking dork out at them.
Well, I try to dork out at them. It's
and
like what...
Do you feel judged?
No, I don't. I just mean that it's hard because on paper...
Right.
Yes. On paper... And you know this about me. On paper, I'm a total hipster.
Okay. Well, right. So from afar.
Well, I just mean the things that I'm interested in.
Right.
But I also have no sense of style. I can't grow a mustache. I despise bicycles. So it's all of these.
How about taxidermy? That's
not into taxidermy.
Excellent.
But I despise bike. You have a car. I have a couch that goes where I want it to.
Right.
A screw bike.
There you go.
So but on paper, the things I'm into, but it's because I actually am sort of just a weird Luddite.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in conversations all the time where I think I'm about to make a friend, and then I'm like, it's just some douche.
Just some douche who's yes. But, you know, if you could power through the, and I'm not saying you haven't tried to do that. You've clearly tried to power through the douche to make that guy your friend, and it has, you've been hurt. You've been hurt, Jesse.
I've been hurt a few times, and it's not a big deal. It's not
no.
a big deal.
Shake it
anyway,
off.
Synthesizers are great.
They are. They are great. It's but I am going to talk. I say we're going to do it. I say
Let's
we're
12
minutes in.
Let's get in
talk
there.
Talk about the fact that you fucking collect typewriters.
Yes.
And you're not turning one into a bicycle. You're leaving it as a typewriter.
How would you even do that?
Well, go to Portland, Oregon. Look
well,
around.
I've been to Portland, and that's what
there
I mean.
Go. That's exactly what
I
you
bomb
mean.
In Portland a lot, and I'm like, no, I should
you
be
people,
worshipped.
Right, you people should carry me off stage because this is I am you, but an actual version of you.
Right,
right.
You're a wax figurine of me.
I am just well. Some people just don't want to work.
I know.
And,
I know.
So
yes, I collect typewriters. I repair typewriters.
Okay.
Do
you type on typewriters?
Yes.
Do you write on a typewriter, or do you mostly do it on the computer?
Mostly a typewriter.
Okay.
This all started because my printer broke, and there was a yard sale.
Oh, tell me when that happened.
That was it was after I moved to LA. That was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
My printer completely broke, and I had something that I had to get out. Like, I just had to have this printed off, but not like to give to someone.
Right.
I was like, I gotta write this. I gotta print it up. I gotta stick it to my wall. Now it makes it sound like a motivational
right.
speech.
But it had to be done.
It had to be done.
Well, it's a writer thing. It had to be written.
It had to be written.
Okay.
My penmanship is so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm left-handed, but raised in the South where they tried to make me right-handed.
By beating your left hand.
Well, it didn't take the right-handedness. So then I just have awful left-handed penmanship.
Right. Because you could have had
no, not right,
fun.
Jackie. Left is the thing.
Right, but you
no. So
correct.
My printer broke.
Right.
As they are wont to do, and there was a weird yard sale on my street, and I went, and there was a typewriter. It was a Smith Corona Silent Super, 1957. I learned all this after.
Right.
Which turns out is a very solid machine, very solid typewriter. And I, just everything about it, like anything that people fall in love with that is material and
right.
doesn't matter really, but just the smell of it, everything hit me. And I was like, this is amazing. I wrote on it and it just, there was no writer's block. Everything
right.
was immediate. There's no copying and pasting unless you literally copy paste. You
right.
know?
Get some white out and then
you get
back,
some,
back,
yeah.
back, back.
And it just, you, I like that it slowed me down. I think everyone's looking when they're writing, to go faster. How can I autocorrect so I can just, I mean, they have it on our phones now where you can just swipe, sort of lazily swipe your finger on the keypad and it makes the word.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I want to slow down. I want to think more before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So every sentence is sort of written in blood. You know,
okay.
you have to actually commit.
Right.
You're running out of ink.
Right.
And
right, right. The ribbons. The ribbons alone, I think.
The ribbons are weird.
The ribbons are the hard part.
They're still out there.
They're still out there.
Yeah. A lot of countries, unfortunately, sort of third world situations still use typewriters because the power is so bad there.
Oh, right.
So.
Because this is not even an electric.
No, I go manual.
It's a manual. It's not a Selectric. I used to have a job where I used to type on a Selectric.
A Selectric 2? Those were the best.
Was that the best? It was nice because it had the Correcto ink in it that you just had to pop a new cartridge in.
Yeah.
And you could just hit backspace, and it would delete.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sweet.
But those are different. Those are called golf ball typewriters.
Right.
Because the typing element, as they call it, is a ball.
That spins
and pivots to hit the character. What I work on, it's type bars.
Yeah.
And that's why the QWERTY keyboard is a QWERTY keyboard. Because, you know, the keyboard we all know and love.
Yep.
Because
it's called the QWERTY keyboard because of the QW, right?
The QWERTY. It's right. The top left.
And that's why they call it that.
That's why they call it that. And in Italy, it's Azzurri. Or in France, it's Azzurri. It's Quartz in Germany.
Okay.
And the reason is that is the algorithm they figured out if you're typing a word in English, the reason it's QWERTY for us, it's the least amount of chance of two type bars jamming.
Oh.
So that's why it's a QWERTY keyboard. And then they just kept
it. That's why the keys were set in that order, because then the bars wouldn't get all tangled
up. Or else it would be ABC order. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, there are better keyboards now for computers if you want to learn a new system.
Right.
That are faster, you know.
Did you take typing in school? Where did you learn to type? Was it Hunt and Peck and then taught yourself kind of thing?
It was Hunt and Peck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a...
Because you're a lot younger than I am, so they didn't offer typewriting.
Not typewriting, but computer. We had a computer class.
Right.
Where I learned like to type.
And did they tell you about hand placement and that stuff? And did they do any drills?
I've never done good with home row stuff.
Right.
Because
that was the entire class was essentially home row and T. I mean, it was a drilling kind of situation. Turns out I went to high school in the 30s.
No, you did. You did.
Before the big factory boom.
Yeah, during the World Fair.
Right.
You were on the first Ferris wheel. That was your first.
Fair. Yeah. The first World Fair.
Yeah.
It was called Athens.
I'm pretty sure those were the Olympics. I don't think that was the World. No.
No, I'm calling it the World Fair. I'm also calling him the receiver, and I call Scott Walker the president of Wisconsin.
Sure. So, it was. I remember my computer class, but the teacher lied to us right away and said that our fingers had to be on the home row because there were sensors in the keys that could tell if they weren't. And I knew she was full of it right immediately.
Right.
So
then you had to test.
Yeah.
You were like, nope.
No.
It turns out you're full of it, lady.
You're full of it.
Yeah.
But I used to get a lot of panic attacks like in school.
Okay.
And it was always right after lunch for some reason. That was just my panic.
In different grades? All through different grades? Or
I've been having panic attacks my whole life, but it was particularly bad one year of high school when it sort of peaked. And it would always be sort of right after lunchtime. And that was my computer class, so I was always just sort of ill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I would just leave and go to the bathroom a lot. I didn't learn a lot.
Right. Well, it would have been...
Didn't mean to take it dark.
Well, I was just wondering if it was the class itself that created that. Like, if your teacher was Snape, right? Like, if your teacher was Severus Snape,
sure.
I would have a panic attack, too.
Yeah. Good call.
sure.
Yeah, and...
So that was the first typewriter you bought?
Yeah, like 3.5 years ago.
And now you have more?
30.
You have 30?
At least.
Wow.
Yeah, at least. And it's a problem, actually. If any of your listeners want one, let me know. I have been giving them away.
Have you started giving them away?
Yeah, I'm not even selling them anymore. It's just take it.
Okay. What draws you to one? What makes you go, is it just you're like, oh, now I'm collecting that? Like,
no, it originally started as I had one, and then I was like, I really like this. I think I'm going to get into it. I think I'm going to – and not collect them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the money to collect them. They are really cheap, but collector typewriters, like the ones you collecting stuff –
You know, Tom Hanks collects them.
I do know that.
I don't know why I know that, but I know it.
I do know that, and I started collecting them – sort of by accident, because what I would do is I was like, okay, this is a good one that I bought by chance. Now I'd actually like to use one.
I need a different one that can be used.
Well, I need one that's a good one, because the one I bought's good, but I was like, I really want one I can sort of fall in love with. So I Googled around, And oh, the irony. And I went on my computer to look up typewriters.
Yes.
And I and I found that the best portable typewriter ever made, and I agree.
Yeah.
Typewriters are split into two groups, pre-war and post-war.
Okay.
Because during World War II, production stopped, except for like one factory in Switzerland, because it was neutral. But, you know, every country, basically, all their factories are being used for war stuff.
War machine.
Giant death machine things.
Right. So there were, so
pre-war and post-war. So all the typewriters people think of when they think of one with the round glass keys.
Yeah.
You know, the like.
Oh, the black.
Shiny black, yeah. But then the round keys.
Yeah, and, His Girl Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are all pre-war.
Okay.
Post-war is more the Mad Men typewriters.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Curvier, a little more like less art deco, a little more like mod. And I found one called the Hermes 3000, which is a Swiss typewriter.
Okay.
They started production in like 59 and they came out in three different iterations. I prefer the late 50s, early 60s curvy bodied, Hermes 3000. They're a lovely mint green and boy, do they purr when you type on them. Yeah. I love it.
And they are still not electric. These are still manual.
No, still manual.
Okay.
Lovely bell sound. Makes you feel productive.
Right.
As
you slide the register thing back.
Yeah, the carriage.
The carriage, that's it.
Yeah.
And, wow.
Yeah, and then I was like... because
they're heavy, too.
They're super heavy. I bought one. I bought a Hermes 3000. The bell didn't work. And I was like, I'm going to need that bell to work so I can feel awesome.
Right.
So I cracked it open, took the shell off, looked in there, and then I realized, like, similar to my Lego obsession, I always feel like I could be a mechanic or something, maybe. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm good at this. I'm really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at fixing these.
Right.
And then I thought,
that's like an affirmation.
Yeah.
Without any information, you're like, oh, I'm good at this. This is all going to work out.
Yeah. It was very cocky and stupid.
But
let me tell you how much money you lose trying to flip typewriters. The answer is a lot. A lot, right. Jackie.
Where's that reality TV show?
it's one episode. It's one episode. It ends in a suicide because I thought, you know what? You know what would be cool is I can, you know, I'm a broke comic.
Sure.
I was like, but it turns out I like doing this. I find it very relaxing.
Right.
It's very soothing to fix these up.
Yeah.
I'm going to start just buying really cheap ones for like $20, old beat up typewriters.
Okay.
Fix them up, sell them. And now what it turns out, Jackie, that the typewriter...
When you create your own job. Yeah.
Yeah. What it turns out that the typewriter, Jackie, is obsolete secretarial equipment. That nobody wants,
right.
Because apparently the world has moved on to things that are clearly better. And
this is where turning it into a bicycle,
right?
You could turn it into a bicycle all of a sudden.
I'm such an idiot. So I wound up, but that's why I have like 30.
Okay.
Cause I was like,
this is going to be the greatest idea in the world.
No, I didn't even freak out on it. It was just this weird side thing, but I kept thinking, oh, this one's like $15 on Craigslist, or this one I can pick this one up because I have a gig in Vegas, and every time I have a gig, not even for typewriters, I always go on Craigslist first to see if there's anything dumb I could buy from a local.
Oh, interesting.
You know, whether it be your anything, you know, Magic the Gathering cards, whatever.
Let me tell you something. You can write that off.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh yeah. All right. That's what I'm
So, the amount of typewriters I've just had sitting next to me on stage. Don't worry about that. It's part of the act. And then it's a write-off.
That's hilarious.
I drive on stage in a new Lamborghini.
Right.
And then just get out and do my act. Doesn't matter. And
I'm doesn't matter.
Ignore the Lambro.
Exactly.
Need the tax write-off.
Need the tax write-off of $250,000. And because you got to meet interesting people, though. Like, because I've never met anyone who's put anything on Craigslist. I might not be super young. I don't know anything about Craigslist.
Craigslist is terrifying and weird.
Right, but also super helpful in some ways, right?
Super helpful.
But you take your life into your own
hands. The spelling is the worst.
Oh, that would irritate.
It irritates me a lot. Mm-hmm. Worst spelling ever. All of the Craigslist prostitutes are homosexual men that want photos of your penis.
Wait, there's no prostitute ladies?
Well, there's prostitute ladies. Then there's also like casual hookups.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm just some loose lady out in the town. Here's
right,
the thing.
And she's not looking for a sweater or you to buy her lunch or anything.
She's no, it's like, it's she's like, I want some of the I want some of the big the bad stuff.
I just what I would like is I would like to get with a stranger for 47 minutes and then go our separate ways.
Sure. And it turns out that that's not a real thing that anyone ever does ever.
Oh, those are all fake? The casual hookups?
Well, yeah, girls don't do that. First of all, your safety is in danger.
You're a dead person.
Yeah. Yeah. And secondly, like, and I'm not saying the whole, I know it, I get
there has to be somebody doing it. Like
maybe it happened
ladies.
Once, and then everyone thinks it's like the thing of, like, guys yelling out of cars at girls.
Yeah.
It's like one girl in 1915 thought that was awesome. And then word got around to all the guys, and now it's a huge epidemic.
Right. Now people won't stop doing it. So
it's like a huge problem
right?
Because one girl was like,
oh, thank God I got noticed.
Yeah. It was like an insecure weirdo. So what I mean is Craigslist is very dark. It's a very dark place.
Okay.
I've never, by the way, let me disclaim.
Oh, don't think that wasn't coursing through my mind.
Of course. That's not my deal. Right.
You've never contacted the casual hookup.
No, there have never been any monetary transactions for any sort of coitus. That's never happened. That's never happened in my life. Nor has any sort of, I'm not a hookup culture guy. Can't do it. Not for me.
Do you know J.F. Harris?
No.
J.F. Harris, a New York comic. You would actually like him a lot. He's a good egg and has featured for me a little bit.
Oh,
and,
good.
He has this thing about, he's married.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he said, there's some joke about you guys are sending each other dick pics, grossies. And
yeah.
He just calls them. He's like, the last thing my wife would want would be a picture of my penis.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny bit about how he doesn't want any part of it.
Jackie, it's mainly teenagers doing this, the hookup.
Oh, children?
Hookup generation, this hookup culture.
Okay.
It's kids. They have different drugs now, by the way.
Right.
They have different drugs I haven't heard of.
You're talking 15, 16, 17 year olds. Okay.
Child porn is making itself now, Jackie.
Oh, right. Because
how weird is that?
Right.
You know how hard it was to get child porn? You'd have to like go to international waters.
New disclaimer, please.
Yeah. No, okay. Oh, no. Again, not me. Not my thing. What I'm saying is it's weird to me that now you can just like get a job at Verizon. If that's what you're into.
Right.
Like,
if that's what you're into, I suppose that would be it.
It's, you know, it's so weird.
Right. Because when I was a kid, there was what – I mean, we just weren't filming it. Like if we played doctor
of course.
Or show me yours, show me mine or whatever.
Of course.
There was nobody –
the show me steak.
Yeah. not from Missouri.
No.
But there was no Snapchat. There was
no
none of that stuff. So it was all live in the moment. And you're like, oh, I remember what that guy's penis looks like.
Of course. And I remember weird stuff, you know, and it would be like, oh, what a crazy little experience.
Right.
But
we're 11. We're 13,
who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah. But it's not this thing of like, I don't know. It all weirds me out. Again, I'm a huge like Luddite. Call me old fashioned.
Call me old fashioned. I'm creeped out by things that are creepy.
Call me old fashioned, but I'm half whiskey, half muddled mint.
Are you a Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life?
No. There's a drink called an old fashioned.
Oh, is it?
I don't know what's in it.
Whiskey and muddled mint.
Something. Yeah, it was a bad joke. I was trying to think of the ingredients.
I want that to be. I don't know what it is either. My stepmother used to drink it.
It's it's whiskey.
Someone's yelling at an iPod right now.
Someone's yelling at their dashboard, and they shouldn't be driving, to be honest. They should not be
driving. You can drive. Go ahead. Just be careful out there, folks.
Be careful. Anyway, Craigslist met a ton of weird people, met an old Hitler youth. Friends with him now.
Friends with a Hitler youth?
Well, he's a Hitler old.
Right, right. Does he imply that he was coerced?
Yes, very much so.
Right.
He wasn't, it was like Boy Scouts, you like had to do it.
Right, right.
He wasn't into it at all.
Right.
Hannes
Finney's, do you know Hannes Finney? Local comic?
No.
He's a guy I started out with. His mom was in Hitler Youth.
Wow.
And she was not.
No.
She was 9 years old.
Right.
She was terrifying when I met her.
This guy was terrifying. I showed up to buy typewriter repair tools.
Oh, there you go.
And I drove to Long Beach. His name's Dieter.
Because he's German. Why wouldn't he be?
Super German. This guy's the most German, to the point where like his shorts were too short, like when he like very Euro, You know what I mean? Like, I know he probably, like, called his dad Papa and, like, played with a balloon when he was a kid. Like, just a very Euro. And,
extrapolating.
I am. But you know,
yeah. So Dieter.
Europeans, a lot of skin. A lot of skin.
Hello, Europe. Go.
and so Dieter shows up, and we wound up having this great conversation. And I've made a few friends through weird typewriter community.
There you go.
Stuff. He was he moved to America, you know, with his family, because his family was like trying to way get out of there.
Yeah.
And he became a typewriter repairman for Underwood, very popular typewriter company.
Right.
And was getting rid of his repair tools. And I was like, some of these are specialty tools that I need. So I was doing some Craigslisting, and down I popped. And now I'm friends with this old guy. I'm on an online message board for typewriter repair.
Oh, nice.
And enthusiasts. And I'm the youngest member. I'm 28, youngest member.
Right.
Someone dies every week. Right. On the message board, there's always a like RIP Fred, because everyone's everyone's like 90.
TikTok.
And and
but you're learning a lot about typewriters on the, because you can ask these people, right? And you can go.
Yeah, but I can also, most of it, just you wind up talking about like old people stuff, and I love it.
Okay.
I love the elderly. I like hanging out with the elderly.
Oh, that's cool.
Good ones.
Right, well,
you know what I mean.
Right. Not the bad ones. The ones that are lazy.
And, right.
Did you see that the Republicans want to raise the retirement age to 70?
Are you serious?
Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
They're angry. They're angry that anyone would be getting any money when they're 65.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, come on. These crazy entitlements, like wanting to not be sick all the time.
Right.
And
as you get older, what I always think about old people is they're in constant pain to some extent. Which is why they're grumpy.
Yeah.
Because if I were constantly in pain, I would be a bit grumpy.
They're also grumpy because everything is different. Like...
Oh, like the changes of the last 50 years.
And I don't even mean like social changes. I don't mean like segregation, whatever. I mean, when I go back to Nashville, I'm serious. When I go back home to Nashville for the holidays, everything I remember is totally different. The buildings are gone. They're new buildings. Now it's a condo. Now it's this. Now it's that. And it's like your youth is just people just concrete over your youth every 10 years.
They paved over paradise. It's true.
They paved over your nostalgia. And... you know, the little deli I liked is gone, and now it's this, and now it's that. And if you have 70 years of that, you are just an alien. You just exist as an alien. And yeah, you're grumpy. I'm already so grumpy.
You are an old soul, Jesse Case. Or it's the nicer way of saying that you were born an old man.
I'm an old soul, but like the bad parts. Like my soul has chronic hemorrhoids.
Like, I heard some guy on television on stage last night. A gay comic got up and he said that he hasn't been able to have sex in a long time, like 3 or 4 months, because he has hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
And I thought, as a setup, I don't want to know that. Give me any other reason. Unless you're going to do jokes about hemorrhoids, which he did not. That was the
That's the weird part.
Yeah, that was the weird part.
What do you mean?
That the setup was, I haven't had sex in a long time because I have hemorrhoids. And then he doesn't talk about the hemorrhoids anymore.
Okay, let me interject right here. What he should say immediately, and he's like, not to thrombose, but I haven't had sex in a while because of the hemorrhoids.
Thrombose.
That's what hemorrhoids are, the thrombosed.
Oh, there you go.
So it's a little pun.
That's a little pun. You're a wordsmith.
Little hemorrhoid pun.
Little hemorrhoid pun that he should have done, and the people who know what that is would have totally.
And he's a gay comic. He could have gone like, now I need to buy some preparation. Hey, you know, let's write this guy's act. Let's do it, Jackie. Get him over here.
We have another 20 minutes. It's going to be fine. And he was a funny guy. He was talking about some guy he was going out with was named Shane, but it was with a Y because the guy was from Atlanta.
That'd be a deal breaker for me.
Well. He said there was trouble, but because his mom thought it was classier, sticking a Y in there.
Yeah.
Shane. I don't know. How do you spell Shane with a Y?
No, I get it. People are spelling their names however now. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And why should it? I don't care.
I always ask. Whenever I'm signing something, I just, all I do seems polite. I'll call you whatever you want to be called. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't care.
If you need to be called Larry.
Sure.
Nobody's doing that, Jackie. Nobody's naming their kid Larry.
Well,
it is. It's too weird.
No, it'll be back. Larry's going to make a comeback. I drink the Starbucks.
Okay, you go to and you got to give your name.
You got to give your name because I don't know why. I don't know why you don't get a number. You have to give your name.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks even. In my short years, the Starbucks logo lady used to have exposed breasts,
right.
And I remember that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I bring it up to people, and they're like, what are you talking about? Because that's how quick branding and marketing happens.
They brought it back. Did you see that?
What?
The
boobs are back?
Yeah, the boobs are back. Because what happened was, it was a mermaid, right?
It's the siren.
With boobs,
yeah.
Right? And
the Starbuck was Moby Dick's first mate.
Right.
Who was seduced by a mermaid.
Okay.
So there you go.
What they did, when they went big, they zoomed in. So you get a little cleavage, but that's all you get. And you get the head.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've pulled back out, and you get to see the whole lady again.
But is the hair covering the boobs? It's got to be.
Maybe.
It used to be full boob. I mean, I remember
you
just
nipples. There were nipples.
There were nipples involved. There were areola. It was just a little Victorian porn happening on your coffee mug.
Something to live for. As a 12-year-old, you needed it. You needed to see something. You're like, oh,
no,
I see what's
that's when it was. It was exciting.
Right.
I remember that. Now kids don't have that. Snapchatting real boobs.
Right. The things that they haven't seen, very short list.
No,
very
it is. List. It
yeah.
is. Yeah, and, you know, moderation. Take it easy, kids. Right.
Everyone eventually gets laid, or you touch yourself. I mean, one of those two things happens.
One of those two things happens, and it's you know, the end result is the same. You're sleepy. You
lie down.
Yeah, you chill out.
Later, you're going to want a cup of coffee
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, you know what?
Cigarette, if you're a smoker.
Yeah. Pre-make yourself the sandwich.
Exactly.
If you're a guy, you still want to be a sexist douche. You want someone to give you a sandwich after sex.
Make yourself the sandwich.
But do it first. Pretend you didn't make it.
Boom. The little role-playing within your own master.
Then afterwards, you get a nice little sandwich.
You're just like, that's right. Who deserves a sandwich? Danny.
Yeah.
Danny deserves a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't... We have weeded so far off.
We have.
Writers.
It's okay.
But it's because it went to Craigslist.
No, ironically, though, similar to that, is I masturbate staring at a typewriter and then write on a computer. That's the irony.
That is the irony.
I delete my typewriter history. I throw away the ribbon. I type the word boobs on my typewriter and stare at it and feverishly masturbate.
Finally, the kind of reveal.
The kind
that,
of segue.
This is the kind of reveals that that made Marc Maron's show so very, very popular.
Mm.
Is when someone would say they would reveal that they masturbate while looking at a typewriter.
I don't actually masturbate while looking at a typewriter.
Why you got to ruin it? Why you got to ruin it, Jesse?
I think it was obviously a joke.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think everybody got that.
Okay.
Nobody thinks that something horrible is happening. So. What are you reading? You reading anything good?
Oh, boy. What am I reading? These days, I'm reading a lot of Hemingway.
You hitting the classics?
I am.
Okay.
I did, you know.
Good for you.
Well, I just never did it because
right.
I never took school seriously.
Okay.
So I was too busy reading, like, The Beatniks and reading, like, Dune and reading.
Mm-hmm. Those are all good.
They are all good.
But the classics are the classics for a reason. So.
Exactly. And I was too rebellious and weird punk rock phase
right.
to realize, like, you know what? Maybe I should pick up Grapes of Wrath at some point.
Right. That is a chore. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I can't do it.
Lot. It's dry.
Yeah, I'm never doing Finnegan's Wake. I made it like three pages. It's over.
Yeah, I've tried to read Faulkner.
Yeah, brutal.
Couple of times.
Brutal.
And the one... There's one that I read. It was the easy one. Everyone calls it the easy one. And it was about, essentially, it was robbers going across the country. But
right.
But it's, they are very well written.
They are, if you're into, like, a three-page sentence that...
Well, the prose can be very beautiful, and it can be very well
it
written.
It can.
Yeah. But it's hard for me to finish that sentence.
Right.
Moby Dick. I've never been able to finish Moby Dick.
Moby Dick kind of sucks. Also talking about the Led Zeppelin song, overrated. Sorry, Zeppelin fans.
All right.
It's a giant
wow.
drum solo.
It's
Settle
a safe
down.
Space for others, though.
Settle down.
You can come back, do some rebuttal on how great Moby Dick is. Sarah Vowell's favorite book.
no, I know it's a safe space for everyone. Moby Dick is a it's actually a great book.
But I've never been able to finish it.
I'm a big fan of prose over story, ironically.
That
like I'm a big like Bukowski fan. I like the style that in which things are written as opposed to what's actually going on.
Doesn't he write pretty conversationally or?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Just super easy.
Yeah.
But then I also love Cormac McCarthy. He's like my favorite.
The Road.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cheerful tome.
Yeah, super cheerful. I watched it with my dad.
I watched the movie
with my dad. I've read the book. Then watched the movie with my dad. You want to talk crazy sob fest?
Oh, my God.
Brutal.
Did you see The Counselor?
No.
It was the first and only screenplay that Cormac McCarthy wrote. And then it is a star-studded cast. I was on Al Jackson's podcast to talk about The Counselor.
Okay.
And it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Cormac McCarthy, instead of writing it as a script, he wrote it in paragraph form.
Right.
With, like, dialogue, and you're like, that actually is going to be really hard for the actors to figure out what the fuck.
Yeah, it's, I just think he writes very,
what's your favorite one of his?
Eloquently.
Yeah. What, have you read more than The Road or just?
Road? I've done No Country for Old Men. I've done The Hits.
Oh, right.
You know, but then I've done Blood Meridian. You know, he did this trilogy sort of about a cowboy. He writes a lot about the South. I mean, he's from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
I think No Country for Old Men was really great.
Well, that's
I did not read that.
That's cool.
And then aside from like that, that's just fiction stuff. Then I read like weird history books. I'm like a World War II freak.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Love
you,
it.
What?
Not love it. Fascinated by it.
Right. I got that.
Yeah.
But what's any particular aspect of it? Are you reading?
The European theater of war fascinates me more than the
and the early
Pacific
part of the
theater.
War, the late part of the war?
I'm fascinated by the butterfly effect of everything.
Okay.
Like how the war of 1870 caused World War I, which caused World War II, which caused, you know, will cause something else.
Right.
And
sure.
So I love sort of going back and back and back. World War II, that's why I don't even understand when someone says they're like a World War II scholar. Or something like that, because that means like you have to know all the history.
The history of humanity?
Sort of so much went into it. It was like this bomb waiting to explode. But to me, the thing that fascinates me about it is that it puts things into perspective how our culture now is so fear-based for no reason, because World War II was the apocalypse, and we made it.
Huh.
Like, World War II ended by them putting the sun in a bomb.
Right.
That's how we had to end World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's biblical.
Right.
Like it was the apocalypse.
Like, what was the last book you read?
Last book I read was a World War I book called The Guns of August.
Okay.
Because this is the 100-year anniversary of the start of World War
I. Okay.
So I was like, I'd like to learn a little more about it. And it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Because that was the end of... That was sort of the end of this age of sort of empire type deal. And it was also the end of chivalry, like battle tactics, because the Germans played dirty and the French and Belgians did not. So you had cavalrymen charging down the field or all lining up and then just getting mowed down by machine guns and mustard gas.
Right.
And it was and people were like, oh, we're a terrible species.
Right.
We have to like World War One. You know that like in the Civil War, Revolutionary War, people used to go watch the battles.
Right.
You could sit on a hill with your blanket because you're safe.
Right.
Because you're 100 feet away from the muskets.
Mm-hmm.
And
did the Germans start shooting the spectators?
No, I mean, they would die by accident because there's tanks and bombs involved.
Okay.
You know,
because the range was so much greater.
Yeah, people realize pretty quickly. Like,
once you sent a projectile into the world.
People realize World War One pretty quickly was this real deal quagmire awfulness. Because the War of 1870 was between Germany and France.
Okay.
They never considered it over, even though everyone else in the world did.
Okay.
Because it was a ceasefire, not a treaty. Same way as, like, technically the Korean War is still going.
Right, because it was a ceasefire?
Right. You know how, like, the Korean War is technically not over?
Right, because of North Korea.
Creepy and weird. but it's technically not over, which means at some point some psycho will try to settle it.
Right.
And that's what World War One was.
Right.
It was...
a continuation of France and Germany.
Yeah, but France, in the meantime, built up all these defenses on the border, so therefore Germany has to go through Belgium, which is a neutral country, had allies. That immediately gets England involved, which immediately gets Czechoslovakia involved, immediately gets Austria against them. Prussia fights, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Russia has to invade this person. It was this domino effect of dumbness.
Right. As per usual. Yeah.
But like... yeah, World War II, I think, will always – if here's one of my favorite – not favorite. It's a terrible statistic, but it's a real one.
Fascinating.
If you were born in 1922 Russia as a male,
okay,
all the male babies born that year, 1922 Russia, only 2% of them survived World War II. That's how many of them died.
Wow.
Because they were all like 17. You had to be in the army.
Right.
And it was like human shield type shit was going down. Right. You know?
Yeah, meat shield.
Yeah. And I just think, like, how crazy is that? That just all the male babies born that year? Like,
right.
What was happening?
The whole generation was decimated, but that year in particular.
Yes.
Because that is the year that everybody came of age.
They still don't even have accurate numbers on how many of them died. Like, they think it could be like a quarter of a billion of the Red Army just could have died. You know?
How many people lived in the Soviet Union?
It was pretty big. I mean, it's one of those things where the numbers, they know at least 280 million people died in World War II.
Okay.
Could be closer to 500 million.
If they could find the paperwork. Not everybody's keeping the good paperwork like the Germans did.
Well, that's the thing. That's why there's so much history there.
Yeah.
Because
the Germans were constantly filming their own atrocities.
Well, and they wrote everything down. Mm-hmm.
They're a thorough people.
They wrote everything down on Continental Typewriters, great company out of Dresden. trying to bring it together.
Bring it together.
I own a typewriter that left Dresden, left the factory the day before the firebombing.
Okay. You got Providence on that?
It's mine. I was like, I own it. And I was like, I'm keeping it.
Right. But who told you that? What's the paperwork on that you know that's where it was made?
It's serial number.
Okay. And then you look it up and then...
You look it up. There's a typewriter database where you can...
Why would I know that? That is the greatest news in the world that there's a typewriter database that...
Well, they all have serial numbers.
Yeah, but only on like Bones and Castle does someone have access to that shit. And
it's just a website anyone can go to.
How did you know that website?
From your people. From my people, the Yahoo group.
Exactly.
By the way, it's a Yahoo group.
Congratulations. Why wouldn't it be? I'm surprised it's not AOL.
Yeah. But Alta Vista.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the Guns of August, the World War I book, was the last book I read. And it's, I think it's by Barbara Bachman, and it's fascinating.
Yep.
Anyway, 100-year anniversary of World War I starting, of basically 100-year anniversary of the world getting awesome and terrible, getting very polar. Mm-hmm. So,
war is fascinating. And those older wars, like nobody's really reading a lot of the history of our last 6 years in Afghanistan, right?
Right.
Because we're still living it, maybe.
Well, we're still living it. And also the butterfly effect of it is very young. We're starting to see it now with things like ISIS, where it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have just done that thing.
Right.
All these people, you know, maybe.
Yeah, an entire generation angry.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, we killed an entire generation's parents and now they have guns. That sucks.
Yeah. That's what happens.
And yeah, I think it's one of those things where who knows how long it'll take for this sounds so negative. I think like diplomacy is always possible. I think that's why it's so important to understand our history. World War II happened because six people sucked.
The whole thing happened
because six people suck.
Okay. And can we find those people and kill them?
Well, they're all dead now.
Right. Well, then why did they have progeny?
Churchill sucked.
Churchill totally
sucked. He was an anti-Semitic warmonger douche.
Okay.
Hitler sucked.
I like that Churchill somehow top of the list.
No. It's because I knew Hitler's a given.
Okay.
That's why I said it.
Okay.
Hitler way worse than Churchill.
Another disclaimer, Jesse Case, not a fan of Hitler.
Not a fan of Hitler. And I feel...
Not a pedophile, not hiring prostitutes.
Not a pedophile, not hiring prostitutes, not a fan of Hitler.
There's three things
you need to know about the Case Man.
The Case Man.
So, yeah, Churchill sucked, Roosevelt sucked, Neville Chamberlain sucked. You know, Goebbels and Speer, Himmler. Okay, maybe like 20 people sucked.
I'm going to say more people sucked. A lot of people. You can't blame an entire world war on six guys.
I think you kind of can. That's the terrifying thing.
How?
Because it keeps going back and back and back and back. That's the thing. If you understand, like the
original sin, it was Eve's fault.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean that at all. I mean that World War I led to World War II.
Right.
You know,
it was, of course, because of the economic repercussions.
Yeah, the Treaty of Versailles, all of that, right?
But
you have, like, pretty small events that within 10 years turned into the reasons all this happened. There were so many opportunities to stop that snowball from rolling, and it just never happened. For instance, you know,
How could it have been stopped when Churchill was prime minister?
That was too late. I mean,
so how does he? How did
Neville Chamberlain was the original prime minister?
Right. So, but and how did
Churchill
Roosevelt...
really push for war? He really, really wanted.
Well, but the war was already there. He could not have stopped the war at that time.
Well, 1939, Germany invades Poland.
Right. 38, 39?
39.
Okay.
Every world war that's ever happened was planned for about 10 years before it starts.
Right. And Churchill could have stopped it when?
There were plenty of opportunities to for diplomacy before that. Plenty of opportunities.
That Churchill could have done.
Yeah.
How? He was not prime minister.
He was the admiralty of the Navy.
Right.
He
but
was
Neville
the,
Chamberlain was the prime minister.
Right. Churchill was basically like
by
what
the
we
time
would,
he became prime minister, the die was cast. I'm saying.
He was like the head of the military, basically. By the time he became prime minister, of course.
Right. The die was cast. Same with Roosevelt.
Right. I don't think that blitzkrieg, eye for an eye responses every fucking night was a good idea from Churchill.
Sure.
Because that's what it was. It was a bombing war for a year. The Battle of London. It was crazy. And it's like, no, just go bomb Berlin. Stop. Oh, they bombed our shitty town. We're going to bomb their shitty town. They bombed blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm not saying I would have made all these better decisions.
Right.
I'm
in
saying
the
I
moment,
think,
those
I think,
decisions are so
I think Churchill
hard.
Was an egomaniacal douche who I'm still is glad existed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about everybody in those positions...
I hate that we're so late in this podcast, because we're going to have to, like, cut, and then it's going to be like, Jesse's a Nazi. Like, no, no.
Jesse no. thinks that the world order would be so much smarter.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I am glad Churchill existed.
Right.
I think...
As a person, you're not having him over to the house, is what you're saying.
Not having him over to the house at all.
Right.
First of all, everyone was anti-Semitic.
Right.
The way before Holocaust-y stuff started going down... They wanted to export all the Jewish people.
1946 people were anti-Semitic.
Well, yeah.
The creation of Israel was anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I'm glad that's over, though. I'm glad people aren't anti-Semitic now.
I know, it's so much better.
It's so better in the world.
It's
no.
0.2% of the world's population is Jewish. Did you know that?
0.2?
Yeah. Guess who is making a hell of a mark on the world?
Yeah.
Just being 0.2%.
No, good call.
Nice work.
Nice work.
I love the Jews. Not all of them. It turns out, as individuals, some of them are asshats.
Well, yeah.
Another sweeping great statement by me. Jackie Cation says she likes most Jews. No, I'm.
No, I think that means you judge people fairly. I could say the same about like I've met a
white
lot of
people.
Well, no, I've met a lot of really shitty gay people, and it's because it's like no, you're a human being. It's like the same douchebag ratio exists.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Right. The percentage is not going to change.
The percentages of douchebag
doesn't matter how small a sample you take.
Exactly. So it's like, look. 9 out of 10 of you, I'm probably not going to be crazy about. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Right. So I would say that Churchill and Roosevelt. Did you see the Roosevelt documentary?
Yeah.
I saw 5 of the 7 two-hour shows, and it was fascinating. The Teddy Roosevelt, bit of a psychopath.
Yeah.
Walking on San Juan Hill saying, this is so much more fun than hunting.
Yeah.
As he walks through the dead.
Yeah. Eleanor, bit of a psychopath.
All of them.
And that's what I mean.
What didn't you like about Eleanor?
I think Eleanor was a really weird.
I need an example like Teddy. That's all I'm saying. Is that just an example like Teddy?
She was big into eugenics.
What is eugenics?
Trying to racially cleanse. Or racially modify people through things like surgery, injecting blue dye into their eyes. You know, like phrenology.
Yeah.
A lot of pseudoscience was being taken seriously during the 20s and 30s.
And she was a big proponent of that?
Yeah. Yeah, she would fund eugenics research.
I'm going to need a source on that.
Okay, I'll send you one. I'll send you one. But
I can put it in the notes.
Put it in the notes, yeah. Everyone was trying to invent the Superman.
Right.
You know, it's just weird. It's like the way people were into phrenology in the late 1800s, where they take the calipers and like the Mongolian has no aptitude for sport,
right?
Because of your forehead width, it's all bullshit.
Right. I have a divot in my skull. Somebody says all Armenians do, and I was like, I don't know what that means.
But, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's where your dad can put his nose. It's a nuzzling. It's like how cats can lift kittens.
Right.
I think there's World War II. Escalated for a lot of terrible reasons, and I think it had to be apparent to everyone in the know that there were a lot of economic reasons. I don't think it's some conspiratorial thing. I think it had to be apparent for everyone in the know by 1933, hey, this guy's crazy and he's serious and maybe should not be taking control of Germany right now.
Right.
Instead, like, let's give him an Olympics. It always right. make, you know, it all.
It's right. They're just like, maybe this will salve his. But the same with Putin, right?
No, people that just hosted an Olympics never start world wars. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that. There's no historical.
There's no repeats.
Right. And history never repeats itself. That's one of the great things about history. That's why we never need to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well. This.
It happened.
It happened.
We had a podcast.
The hour did go by.
That's why you
a
should never.
A lot of things were introduced.
You should never bring up Hitler with only 10 minutes left. It's a terrible idea. I look like such an asshole right now.
You brought up Hitler. World War II. We can go back to minute 48.
Yeah. No. The guy is the worst. It's the worst. I think
it's bad. My only problem with, I mean, because I'm fascinated by all wars too.
Yeah.
Wars are fascinating to me. The fact that that millions of people consent to be part of something that is a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, group mind is really dangerous. Really dangerous. I was scared after 9/11 of America's
reaction.
It got too crazy. I mean, I was still living in the South.
Right.
And it was like, I was like worried for the dudes working at the gas station. Like, mm-hmm. It sucked. Mm-hmm. People were going nuts. And I think
My favorite part of it? Is when comics would end their set by singing the national anthem.
Oh, yeah. I worked with several comics that would get a USA chant going, sell some shots. No, it's fucking awful. And I think especially during, you know, the scary thing is during economic hardship. I mean, the Depression was worldwide. Mm-hmm. And I just think also without the internet. Think about how easy it was to trick people that the Polish all have hooves before Facebook.
But the thing is... is the same the same argument is made. Well, now that we have the internet, it's easier to trick more people.
No, I know.
And so I say, for me anyway, is life is that saying of think globally and act locally. Mm-hmm. It's what I want is I want to try to make the world better in my sight, in my eyesight.
Yes.
Right. And so I can't. Like, I'm going to be sad and I'm going to be happy about things that happen 5,000 miles away. I'm not going to live in fear. I will go through the TSA theater production every 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And I will do what I'm told. But I refuse to live like everybody's horrible.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, they're not.
It's so hard. Like, I don't know who to blame. Like, people, like, I don't want to blame anyone. I genuinely think, right, to some extent, that everyone's doing the best they can.
There are
people that are gross and horrible people. They're bad. Like,
well, there are a few megalomaniacs.
The Westboro
Baptist Church yeah.
people who picket funerals, right?
Right.
So those are genuinely, I'm confused for those people.
Me too.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, and I think that to me, I think empathy is the most important sort of trait that humans should have. Just try to see it from someone else's side for a minute, which is the reason I do try to hit all these angles of everything. But I think that if you look even at anthropology, a lot of people say, like, war is human nature, and I disagree. I think getting along is way more in our nature. It's how we've survived this long. We're a very weak species. We had to live in the jungle together when we started. Right. You have to work together. It's community.
Yeah.
And I think your willingness to protect your community is what causes war. We need to start viewing ourselves as this one species. It's really dumb to keep thinking that...
just because somebody lives in Indiana, they're my enemy.
Yeah. I mean, you think about... That's another weird thing about wars. The U.S. is a huge country, right? Wars happen between a distance that would basically be like if L.A. was at war with Redding.
Right. I don't know where Redding is.
Northern California.
Okay.
But, like, that's the distance between Berlin and London.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It would be like if we had to bomb the Inland Empire every day.
Right, because it's only 35 miles away or
something.
Stuff
like that is – like, Europe's pretty tight.
Yeah,
pretty close-knit.
Yeah.
you know, so you can equate like Germany and France being at war with Belgium and all of this stuff. It'd be like if
Milwaukee and Chicago were at war.
Yeah.
There's 90 miles.
There's 90 miles. And to me, that's even harder. You'd be like, yeah, I know like a lot of those folks.
Right. Right.
You know? Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, it's all, I mean, and the thing is I don't know why we're being, there's so many things I'm confused of why we're being taught, you know,
yeah.
Like the realistic depiction. I was talking to Deborah DiGiovanni last episode, but the realistic depiction of murder victims and the prevalence of serial killers and murderers and all these different,
right.
And then how real all the makeup looks. Like, I'm like, what are you preparing me for? What do you want me to not be surprised of when I see it?
What do you mean, like on TV shows?
Yeah, on television shows, there's so much stuff that's supposed to look real. I'm supposed to believe that, you know, 95% of the people on the planet want to, you know, take a child and kill it and,
right.
And to be horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you, what am I being taught?
Well, here's what I do know. And I also know we're like, got to wrap up.
I coughed for about 2 minutes. I'm going to be cutting.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. I know that we notice the outliers and that's bad. That's how shitty thought happens. I'll give you an example.
That outlier book. What is that outlier book?
That's not what I'm talking about, really.
Okay.
So that's a Malcolm Gladwell book. An outlier means something that's outside the status quo.
Okay.
So what I mean is this, right? Let's make it about like gender for a second. Okay. You could very easily, as a woman, walk down the street and you're walking half a mile, five different cars, guys yell at you, douchebags. Yeah. Hey, what's up, sweetie? You know, something like that. And
sure.
It makes you feel uncomfortable and awful. And men are awful pigs. But those are outliers.
Okay.
Because 5,000 cars just drove by you that didn't do that.
Did and totally ignored me. It was awesome.
Completely ignored you and it was awesome. But uh-huh. It's completely natural to think you noticed that because everything else is blur. Everything else is static hum.
Right.
You noticed that. Now men are terrible. Same way I'm driving 5,000 people, other white dudes cut me off and I just get pissed about it. It's one old Asian lady. And now all Asians can't drive because that's the one I notice.
Right.
So I think
what we're talking about here, Rangers, by the way, are hacky premises as well, because I mean those, it's not good comedy to write stuff about things that are very much.
Oh,
that.
Most of my comedy is why we're the same, not why we're different.
Yeah,
I think that's way more funny to me. It's why we're the same,
yeah,
but
very much so.
Because, you know, women don't really be shopping. Look at the stats, people.
Everybody's shopping.
Everyone be shopping.
Turns out.
And the economy sucks. And everybody be not shopping
and
as much.
Guess what? The economy isn't that bad. It's fine.
I know.
It turns out.
That's what I mean. So you have things like outliers being things outside the status quo. They cause a lot of fear. Terms like rape culture.
But they're being used to generate fear.
Well, what I mean is it's okay. You think about the term rape culture because all these rapes are on the news, things like that. The rape statistics, I know I brought up the big R. Nobody get uncomfortable. I'm not about to be a douche.
Hitler?
No, Jackie, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good though.
It's a very real thing. It's a huge issue. It affects way too many people because that needs to be a 0% problem. That needs to never happen. The statistics are way down. There's always way less, which means it's newsworthy now.
Yeah.
Which means, unfortunately, the backlash is we think it's everywhere and it's totally not. Same with like racism. Like, yeah, cops just totally used to kill black dudes. I'm really glad it's all over the news now.
Yeah.
Cause that means it's an issue to us.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I think things are totally less racist. If you were to look at like, like the world's getting better.
Right. I think, yeah, I think that there are, I mean.
I'm never running for office. I cannot say anything with tact to not look like an asshole.
Well, no, I think that you're right. Because you are right. I mean, people are allowed to vote. Women and black people and Native Americans and everyone is now by law.
Oh, we're nowhere near.
To vote.
We're 10% where we need to be.
But what you're saying is that the actual, it is statistically, we're doing so much better than we were 40, 50 years ago.
There's less war. There's less disease.
Right.
And we think everyone has Ebola.
Right. And that's all I was saying is that I don't know who is pulling the strings to make me scared of things that are actually better. Right?
Exactly.
Like, because there's the serial killer, number of television programs about serial killers
right.
are amazing. There's a bajillion of them. And you're like,
and it's like
are
five
there
dudes.
That many?
No, it's like five dudes.
There are many serial killers right. out there. And granted, there's 7 billion people on the planet. And if 1% of those people are broken, numbers are up. Percentage is the same, but 1% of 7
yes.
billion is more than 1% of 3 billion.
Yes.
So live defensively, people, but don't live in fear. What the heck? You're going to die either way.
You might as well, because
my friend Stefan, he didn't come to my wedding because mm-hmm. He was afraid of the terrorists. And so
at
I
your
saw,
wedding?
At any airplane
oh,
in
the
between
okay.
Milwaukee and Los Angeles, he was afraid that there would be a terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. And so I saw him 3 months after my wedding, and we were at lunch, and he goes, you know the one regret I have about not coming to your wedding? And I said, the fact that there was no terrorist activity that weekend? And he goes, you're an asshole. No, the fact that I missed, and I was like, the fact that you missed the wedding, it would have been super fun.
Yeah.
And when you think about the fun things you miss because you're afraid, that genuinely fills me with rage. And
yeah.
then I have to just separate from it and go, well, I'm going to just live my life and try to encourage people to not live.
Yeah. Like, well, you can't, you can't. I mean, it's.
And according to the news, 77% of the people are. They're living in fear. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I have no idea how many people are living in fear.
No, but the news is a joke. It's a parody of itself at this point. It's awful. The CNN just is the Onion. It's brutal.
Right. So I don't watch any television news just because
I get all my news from open mics. That's how I hear things happen. Some comic has a new joke. Did you hear about Renee Zellweger's face? No, tell me.
I didn't know about her face. It turns out what she did was she took herself off the Squinty McClintock. She must have always hated her eyes because that's all she had done. Because the rest of her face is exactly the same. But people are like, I don't even recognize her anymore. And I was like, I do. She looks like the same lady.
If you change your eyes are what people go for. You change your eyes, you look completely different. That's what most people.
She doesn't look any younger. She doesn't look. She just looks. She looks fine. She looks like a really wealthy 45-year-old woman is what
I agree.
Because
she looks like a load of money and
she
45.
She looks great. Like that isn't what normal 45-year-olds look like. But she did get her eyes kind of widened a little bit.
Yeah.
And
saying I had no idea.
Right. And
that's
how you found out.
I find out all my news from comedy shows.
Exactly.
All my news is skewed. I don't know
Twitter
what I'm talking.
Feed. So Jesse Case.
Hey.
Where are you going to be in November? And should people see you do stand-up comedy?
did you enjoy me at Meltdown last week? Good. I'm glad. This comes out November 2nd. Hey, I'm on a plane right now back from Canada, and then I don't have a lot.
Okay, so just go and follow you on Twitter. Please follow me
on Twitter, and I have a podcast called
Probably Science.
It's called Probably Science. Listen to that. And, you know, that'd be great. It's three comedians and we do the week in science news. And we get people on. We just had Christopher Hatfield, the astronaut who did the David Bowie thing. We've had Karen Gillan from Doctor Who. We've had, you know, we have people on.
Super fun.
So super fun.
Listen to Probably Science and follow Jesse Case on Twitter to find out where he's doing the stand-up comedy. And Rangers, take care of each other out there. Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?